The following is a production of Vanderbilt's Owen Graduate School of Management. For more information about Owen, please visit owen.vanderbilt.edu.
Talking about those continuing obstacles, I talked earlier about the internal disorder. In 2003, there was a big revamping of the agencies at the Beijing at the federal level. Names changed, authorities were switched, and they were trying to modernize the structure. Part of that was a way to really separate what is more or less considered the official state agencies, the Ministry of Commerce, the Ministry of Agriculture, from the more Communist Party line of agencies, which are sometimes overlapping. A lot of the times you'll see them as commissions or the social science centers and those sorts of things who produce a lot of policy but aren't actually promulgating rules and regulations. So a lot of that reorganization was an attempt to separate the state functions from the party functions, though that's where you come up with this a lot of problems, is the crossover between those two, and the lines of both communication and authority are both difficult to figure out, and they're challenging within themselves. There's a lot of internal competition. There's also communication barriers between the state government in Beijing and all the provincial governments. Each province, in a lot of ways, competes for foreign investment dollars, for foreign companies, and so they're very competitive with each other, and so the way in which they have their own rules, the way in which they interpret the state rules, they try to compete with each other. Now, some are better than others in terms of they try to compete by having a more open, transparent government. They try to compete by having better courts. Others maybe take the underhanded approach and compete in other ways. And so that's definitely a business consideration when you're looking at where you want to locate or where you want to be partners, is what the situation with the provincial government looks like. There's also, there has recently been a lot of talk, and there's certainly a lot of concern within the Chinese government on this disparity between the interior, more agricultural regions and the coastal regions. The coastal regions are obviously developing a lot faster than the interior, and the Chinese government's trying to prevent things from getting completely out of whack. You see this in their Go West campaign, and they have new investment. I think that the NDRC came out with new policy recommendations on determining which regions are priority development regions, which regions are non-development regions, and where people should invest, and they're trying to equalize or at least bring up the interior a little bit to benefit more from all of this opening trade. IP infringement is, again, just a big issue for so many companies, whether it's retailers and just, you know, simple things being on the market to really hyper-technical products that you spend a lot of time and money in R&D. Everybody is working on improving that situation, and the Chinese government is, but there are still a lot of obstacles to preventing them from really doing a lot better. My experience, I remember being in one kind of intellectual property rights meeting between the Department of Commerce and the Ministry of Commerce, and you know, that they would say, yes, we're trying to do all that we can, but really, in a lot of ways, there are many state-owned companies who are pirates, and so they can't cut off, to some extent, their own revenue, streams of revenue, and so there's a dual interest on their part. They do want to improve because they know that foreign companies demand protection of these rights, but they can't enforce it fully because they'd be cutting off a lot of money that they make. And then talking about the meaningful remedy, a lot of the courts, even if you win a case, you don't get enough of an award to really even cover legal costs. And a lot of times the pirater, they close up shop, open up down the street under a different name, and they're back in business. They don't really shut anyone down necessarily. Corruption, yes and no, it's spotty, it depends where you are, but certainly there are greasing the wheels types of things that go on. There's the operational code and trying to figure that out. I don't think I remember it anymore in Chinese, but there's a phrase that Beijing's a long way from here. And so the tendency is the farther away from Beijing you get, the more corruption there is. Transparency is a big issue, whether in Beijing or elsewhere, in terms of just what rules and regulations are under consideration, what they might look like, how they're going to be regulated, once they're promulgated, how they're going to be enforced. Just getting those sorts of answers are very difficult. And I think the big issue, it's starting to be a bigger issue, it will continue, I think, to be more and more of an issue, are these non-technical barriers and the hyper-technical barriers. Standards, more and more local standards that we'll see that will really keep foreigners out of, or attempt to keep foreigners out of particular market sectors, inspection and quarantine at the border, particularly dealing with agricultural products. I don't know, you probably all know some of these websites. In terms of just additional resources, you'll have them there, but if you are interested in trying to read some of the accession agreements, they're kind of complicated in terms of, you know, they cross-reference each other, it's this big chart, but you can look at it. In terms of policy, the WTO has a great website. All of the documents and information are fairly easy to find in terms of searching by country-specific, issue-specific. The USTR has a decent website. The MAC office of the Department of Commerce, the Market Access Compliance, they have four officers at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing all the time working on these WTO issues. Usually they have two people who deal with kind of WTO overall, and then they have two people dealing with anti-dumping issues. And looking at one of the issues I meant to mention earlier was that more and more Chinese companies are using Chinese domestic anti-dumping laws to bring cases against foreign companies in China under the Bureau of Fair Trade, BOFT. And so they're seeing more and more cases against foreign companies saying that they're dumping products into China. So they learn their lessons well. The other thing to look out for in terms of just mentioning the anti-dumping regulations, more and more Chinese companies are seeking U.S. counsel in front of the Department of Commerce and the ITC in defending themselves against anti-dumping suits by U.S. industries, which is a change from the past. Normally, they just weren't even present. And so you would see these really high anti-dumping tariffs be put on Chinese products. And so more and more, they're defending themselves against U.S. industry attempts to use the anti-dumping regulations. A couple of fun blogs and some trade news. That's it. Thank you.